So in this month's series, we've been looking at contend, right? We're looking at contend, birthing change, and preserving destiny. So far, we've been looking at contend, birthing a change, and preserving destiny. First of all, I want to appreciate our pastor and our lead steward for this opportunity to bring God's word. Thank you so much. Please appreciate Pastor David. Don't you love Pastor David? We love you, sir. Thank you for the honor. Praise God. So all through this series, we first talked about contending. Pastor introduced the subject, what it means to contend. And next, we talked about contending for your spiritual life. Praise God. Next, we talked about contending with prophecy. I believe God. Somebody say, I believe God. I believe God. Contending with prophecy. And on Wednesday, talked about flee, right? Contending for your purity. Praise God. Today, we want to talk about something else which we have titled Aglow. Glory! Contending for the supernatural. Huh? Contending for the supernatural. This is a very important topic. Let's look at our anchor scripture, Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Let me open it. Because of time, I'll read. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Can you see it on your screen? Let's read together. One, two, go. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Are you seeing that? So there are things that we ought to contend for. If not, we will lose it. If not, we will lose the purity of it. Praise God. Remember, at the introduction, we talked about why we must contend. Why is it important to contend? And we said two things especially. We said, number one, we contend to preserve the treasures of the past. We contend to preserve the treasures of the past. And number two, we contend to preserve the future of those coming afterwards. Oh, this is so important. We contend to preserve the treasures of the past. And we contend to preserve the future of those coming afterwards. Let me show you something. Look at Judges chapter 6 from verse 12. This was about a man named Gideon. He says, And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Next verse. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our father told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us unto the hands of the Midianites. The next verse. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? What is going on here? This was long after Israel entered into the promised land. So, during the time of the whole Egyptians, and they were in slavery, in captivity, and God brought them out through Moses. 40 years afterwards, they entered into the promised land. You remember who took them into the promised land? Joshua, right? And they saw the mighty hand of God then. This was long after Joshua had died. Israel went back into their sins. And they were now being oppressed by the Midianites. So it looked like everything that they had heard about, or everything God had done, was in the past. It looked like the God that they were seeing now and the God of then was not the same God. So in verse 13, Gideon is asking, what happened to all the things that we heard about? All the miracles that God did when he parted the Red Sea, he brought the us from Egypt. What is happening now? May our children not ask us, what happened to the miracles of the past? No. We will repeat it. We will uphold it. Praise God. So this is why we need to contend. This is why we need to contend, to preserve the heritage of the past. God is still a wonder-working God. God is still a supernatural God. Say with me, I will contend for the supernatural. I will contend for the supernatural. Tell me, I will flow in the supernatural. Shout glory. Now, what does it mean to flow in the supernatural? What does it mean to flow in the supernatural? To flow in the supernatural is to display results that are seemingly impossible by natural standards. To flow in the supernatural is to display results that are seemingly impossible by natural standards. It means to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. And it means to function beyond the limitations of our natural senses. I'll take it again. To flow in the supernatural is to display results that are seemingly impossible by natural standards. Now, I'll explain what I mean. It means to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, and it means to function beyond the limitations of our natural senses. I'll take it one more time for those who did not get it. To flow in the supernatural is to display results that are seemingly impossible by natural standards. It means to walk in the Spirit, or walk in the gift of the Spirit, and it means to function beyond the limitations of our natural senses. And we see Jesus walk in the supernatural, evidently, through healings, miracles, signs and wonders, many other things. Let me show you something. Look at John chapter 3. I said to flow in the supernatural is to display results that are seemingly impossible by natural standards, right? John chapter 3 from verse 1. This was about Jesus, a man named Nicodemus. He said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Are you seeing that? Nobody reminds me of, my life shall be marked by this thing. It is the finger of God. That they just have to admit that this guy, I don't really like the way you used to do, but I cannot deny that this thing, the results you are showing us, it is the finger of God. The hand of God is clearly evident in this thing. That's what it means to be supernatural. That's what it means to flow in the supernatural. And it's very important because in today's world, you have to have substance, something that compels people. If people will come and hear what you have to say to them, there has to be something compelling them. Praise God. And that was why God gave it to us. And I will explain to you. You see, the supernatural was actually designed to accompany evangelism, accompany the winning of souls, because it is important in passing that message across. Why must we walk in the supernatural? Why is it important? I just mentioned one to you. But number one, why is it important to walk in the supernatural? God's plan is for us to be supernatural. God's plan is for us to be supernatural. God's plan. And this was God's plan for us all along. Look at Numbers 11 from verse 14. Numbers 11. I want to show you a comparison between the Old Testament and the New. This was Moses. Moses was crying out. He was the judge of Israel. He was the one overseeing things. God would speak to him. He would speak to the children of Israel. And he was complaining that, Lord, man, this thing is too much for me. Why? Because it was not designed to be that way. He said, I am not able to bear all these people alone because it is too heavy for me. Next verse. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee. If out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, imagine, if I have found favor in your sight, kill me. Look at the prayer. And let me not see my wretchedness. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Look at verse 17. Say, I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So what God is saying here, that what I've given to you, the Spirit that is on you, I will take out of it and put on these 70 people so that they can be, as it were, supernaturally empowered to do the work. And we'll see the result. Look at verse 24. Jump down to verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the word of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. Next verse. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Are you seeing this? So basically, I see the way there was an enablement of the spirit that made them produce results that the other people were not producing. Do you get this? But do you know that God's plan was not that only Moses should carry the spirit, or that just 70 people should carry the spirit? That was not God's plan. And we see it clearly. Go to Acts chapter 2 from verse 16. Acts 2, 16. This was Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost. I'm sure you know the story. When in verse 4, they were at the upper room and the Spirit descended on them and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Look at what he's explaining. He said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophets. Next verse. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Are you seeing this? These are the last days. This is that day. Say, I will pour out of my spirit upon how many? All flesh. So it's not privy to a certain kind of people. No. As long as you are in Christ, as long as you are a believer, you can speak with tongues, you can prophesy, you can, as it were, display those results. Praise God. So this is God's plan for you. God's plan is that you walk in the supernatural. God's plan is that you walk in the supernatural. You can do mighty things also. Praise God. Number two, why must we walk in the supernatural? The supernatural is our inheritance in Christ. The supernatural is our inheritance in Christ. Go to Mark chapter 16 from verse 17. Mark 16 from verse 17. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. One, they shall speak with new tongues. Two, next verse. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Are you seeing this? Go back to the previous verse. These signs shall follow who? Them that believe. Is there anybody that believes here? So that means these signs follow you. It is your inheritance in Christ. As long as you believe in Jesus, as long as you have come into Christ, this is the inheritance you have. This is the ability you have. If you are not able to do it, it's not because you can't do it. It simply means that you have not been taught, and that's why you are here. Praise God. So do you believe in Jesus? Then these signs follow you. Oh, say with me, say these signs follow me. Say these signs follow me. John 14 verse 12. We see Jesus himself saying it. John 14 verse 12. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise God. We've taught this a lot in our discipleship class, that the Holy Ghost came after Christ left, and the Holy Ghost is the extended presence of Jesus with us. So if you have the Spirit of God, you can do the works of Jesus. Praise God. So it's your inheritance in Christ. So I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I can speak with tongues. Praise God. Say, this is my reality. Say, this is my reality. Hallelujah. Number three. Why must we walk in the supernatural? This world is too wicked to be normal. This world is too wicked to be normal. I hope you know that the supernatural does not just apply to Christianity alone. Even though that there is the diabolical supernatural, which is not as effective, but is there. And unfortunately, it looks like they are even more confident of it. Pastor talked about something last week or so, about one guy. I actually saw that video. Was it DMV or something like that? This guy came down from a jeep, clean jeep. He came down, him and his babalawo. I was shocked. The man was wearing red without shirt with chalk in his face. He came down with jeep, entered inside the Senate building and walked. The babalawo and him. I was shocked. Like, wow. So they are really very bold about this thing now. I checked the comment to see if people would be like, ah, what kind of rubbish is it? Guess what? They were healing him there. This country turned into something else. But do you know that? Do you know that if we flip it, somebody holds a Bible and enters inside a place, you know how they'll be laughing at him? A guy is not a Bible or spirit, cocoa, these are. That's actually a tactic of the devil. So shut down your own voice and raise the voice of darkness to be louder. Because I hope you know that there is war. Yes, look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 from verse 11. Ephesians 6 from verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Are you seeing this? Next verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Are you seeing that? So he's saying that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So he's not saying that we don't wrestle. It's not a question of if we wrestle or not. The wrestling is there. He's telling you that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, meaning that the people you are fighting against, you can't really see them physically, which is even worse, because you need to be sensitive spiritually to be able to fight. You can't go and hide and say, no, I want in the spirit, they can see you clear. They will fire you arrow in your chest. So you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And you can't say, I don't want to fight or not. No, the moment you got saved, you chose your camp. The moment you got saved, it's you that is choosing not to fight. It's like there's war going on between two countries. One of the soldiers has won this thing already, holding the gun. He has shot one person. After a while, he said, oh, no, sorry, I'm not doing it again. Is that possible? They will blast your head off. So you must be alert to the fact that we are wrestling. But do you know something? In this same Ephesians 6, if you go to chapter 1, verse 19, he has told you, these same principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, you have authority over them. Ephesians 1. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us all who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Iskus. The next verse. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This same place is where you are. Ephesians 2:5, you will see it there. Ephesians 2:5. Kapali yamande shapai. He said, even when we were dead in sin, had he quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved. Next verse. And up together, and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you seeing that? So he has made you to sit together in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, and rulers of. Are you seeing that? So you have the authority. Say it to yourself, I have the authority. Oh, I have the authority. The devil is too small for me. Oh, say, I have the authority. Praise God. So you must fight. And he's telling you this to fight from a standpoint of victory. Praise God. And like I said, you cannot choose not to fight. No, you have to fight. Hallelujah. And even aside from that, there are forces fighting already to keep you cold, to keep you lukewarm, to prevent you from knowing what you already have. Hallelujah. So you must contend. This is why you must contend. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. 1 John 5:18. It says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. Are you seeing that? The wicked one toucheth him not. This is an understanding you must have. You have to have it. Because like I said, the diabolical, they are very, very confident about themselves. Somebody can carry charm around your area and tell you, you will see. And guess what? Through, you will see. If you don't contend, you will see. I heard about one that said he moved into a particular compound. And one of the neighbors in the compound said, in this house, you will see something. And through, he was seeing something. Every night in the roof, you'll be hearing footsteps. What will you do? Will you pack out of the house? How that you are paying rent? You just leave. If you leave and go somewhere, you will still see something there. So will you run or will you wake up in the night and shaka palia sandesh? Hey! This is how you are learning this thing. So that you will know how to contend. And that's what I want to explain to you now. How to contend for the supernatural. Are you being blessed? How do I contend for the supernatural? Number one, desire the supernatural. Number one, desire the supernatural. So even though it's your inheritance, you must tell yourself that I must walk in it. You must desire to walk in it. You must desire to walk in it. You have to tell yourself, look, I don't want to be normal. I see it's too risky. It's too risky to just walk normally. Being normal is like going out bare-chested inside battlefield. Even stray bullets can hit you. It's too risky to be normal. You must tell yourself, I desire to walk in the supernatural. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Are you seeing this? Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. If there's any gift you are not working in right now, like I've explained, it's not because you can't. It starts with your desire. I remember when I began to hear God first. I had some friends around the school that I went to, super, very, very spiritual guys. And I was not there yet, as it were. I had to ask myself funny questions. You know those questions people ask? How do you hear the voice of God? What does God's voice sound like? Does God have bad voice? All those things. I used to be there too. I used to ask them those things. And they told me, if you want to hear God, you must be praying in tongues. You must pray in tongues for like 4 hours. Of course, I know better now that it doesn't always have to be like that. But because I really desired it, I said, no, I must do it. If you truly desire it, no price will be too much to pay. If they tell you pray in tongues 6 hours, if you desire it, you will do it. If you desire fuel, if you really, really need fuel, you can go and queue there 12 hours. And you will still beg them, please, I beg, sell for me. I've seen some, they will do you wicked. When you get to your turn, they will tell you, well, I finished. You will not vex until you put together. You will still come back again tomorrow. That same queue. Somebody can relate. But if you really desire it, you will do what it takes. You must contend for it. You must contend for it. So he says here, desire spiritual gifts or follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. In the same chapter, verse 39, wherefore, brethren, convert to prophesy and forbid not to speak with them. Are you seeing that? Convert to prophesy. Convert to prophesy. So like I was saying, it didn't take time. I began to pray in tongues and I began to hear the voice of God. I began to know clearly what God was saying. I can still remember the first time in my life when I heard an audible voice from God. I can still remember how it felt. I still have the notes I was writing on when I began to learn God speaking to me. I remember carrying a book by Kenneth Hagin, Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. He was talking about tongues and interpretation. I closed the book and said, no, I can speak in tongues, but this interpretation, I want to do it. And guess what? I did it. So it starts with your desire. You must have a desire for it. You must have a desire for it. When you see an opportunity to walk in the supernatural, take it. Don't shy away from it. Every ounce in your body will tell you, no, run, no, run, no, stay. No, but take it. Let that desire consume you. Let it boil in you. And from there, you won't know. It just starts to happen. Even speaking in tongues, there are people that we've prayed for that just see, as long as the desire is there, it's not difficult. If the desire is not there, trust me, it's very hard to get somebody to pray in the spirit. But it starts with your desire. If you want it, you will have it. Praise God. Number two, how to contend for the supernatural. Embrace the training of the spirit. Embrace the training of the spirit. And one of the training you must embrace is the law of faith. The law of faith. You must be trained in the law of faith. What do I mean by you must be trained in the law of faith? You must have a consciousness of a realm beyond this physical realm. You must have a consciousness of the realm, of a realm beyond this physical realm. Let me just look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. We've explained this several times during our world programming, but I want to re-emphasize it again. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Oh, I didn't call the verse. Hebrews 11, 3. It says, through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen or which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. So he's saying here that the world was framed by the word of God, and what we are seeing is not all there is. Are you seeing that? He said there is something that we cannot see that better the creation of what we see. So there is more to this world than meets the eye. Oh, there is more to it than meets the eye. It's like a program. There's what they call the front end and what they call the back end. What really controls what you see is the back end. Do you get? So if you want to change something, it's not by looking at the screen, trying to touch it. No, no, you have to go to the back end to correct that thing. And the Bible here gives us access, gives us an understanding as to how the world works. So it's not framed by what we see, or which what we see is not all there is. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. From verse, I think it's verse 11 or so. 2 Corinthians 4. Paul speaking, is that we also having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. So in the realm of the spirit, it starts with believing and then you speak. Do you get this? Just the same way, if you want to change something, you don't just do it in the physical first. You must do it in the supernatural. Praise God. Look at Mark 11. Mark 11 verse 12. And this is where prayer comes in. Prayer is that mechanism God has given you to change things in the physical. Prayer is that control access you have into the supernatural to be able to create things according to how God has ordained them for your life. Mark 11 verse 12. This is here. This is so powerful. Can we read it together? When they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Next verse. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of fig was not yet come. Verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. Are you seeing this? The next verse is talking about something else. So he spoke to that fig tree and just left. And this is what we call the law of faith. He did not wait, according to this version, he did not wait for the thing to dry first. He spoke it and he just left. And there's something called, in software engineering, something called latency. Latency is simply the time it takes between when you request for something and when it comes. That's really what it means. Or if you think about it, in a restaurant, you go to buy food or you go to order for food, not in an eatery, in a restaurant. If you order for your food, it does not come immediately, right? It takes time. That's how it is also in the realm of the spirit. It doesn't come immediately. And where faith comes in is that you need to be able to believe that you have spoken according to the will of God and stay on it until you see the results. In the book of Daniel, I think it's Daniel 10:13 or so, Daniel had prayed, or he was praying, and the result was to come for 21 days. There was a delay. Imagine if Daniel had said, blessed, this thing not going to happen. Let me just leave it and go. That's what many believers do. But Jesus, he just spoke and he left it. Go back to Mark. Mark 12. The Mark 11, sorry. Let's read from verse 20. Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried off from the roots. Are you seeing this? Verse 21. And Peter calling to remembrance said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Look at what Jesus said. Verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Are you seeing that? Have faith in God. What does it mean, have faith in God? It means have the God kind of faith. The faith that says, look, as long as I have spoken, I have declared according to the will of God, I don't need to wait until I see it happen. I don't need to be anxious until I see it happen. I know I've held on to that substance, which is the word of God, and I will see it happen eventually. Do you get this? You must learn to stay. You must learn to stay with the word of God in prayer. That's why we are here. You must learn to contend. Don't be too quick to just give up and say, I've let this thing not go work. No, you must learn to contend. You must learn to contend. Praise God. Look at what he says. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Verse 23. And for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he said. Are you seeing that? You must be able to speak it and not doubt in your heart, and believe that what you have said will come to pass, and then it will come to pass. Are you seeing that? And why do you say don't not doubt in your heart? Doubting does something to you. It's kind of, let me explain this, still on the same software engineering analogy. Please permit me to use that. Those of us who actually understand, you know that not all requests take the same amount of time. So, for example, if you're trying to log into your Facebook account, two people can try to log in, and one can be logged in before the second person, right? And there are many factors that can be responsible for that. It could be your internet, it could be the server, whatever it is. But eventually, that request will come. What doubt does to you is, in fact, you may have seen it before where you click on login and it's rolling, it's taking a while. You'll be like, oh, this thing, and you just cancel it and go and do the next thing. Meanwhile, that your request has been gotten from the back end and they're trying to render it back to you. Meanwhile, you've canceled the whole thing. Do you get that? And this is why many times it looks like God does not answer prayers. If you pray according to the will of God, contend with it. Pastor taught us in Deuteronomy 2, when God said, I have given unto you Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and his land. He said, begin to contend for it and to possess it. So he has given it to you, it is yours, but you must contend for it. You must stay until you see it. Praise God. So don't doubt in your heart, but believe that whatsoever you said will come to pass, and it will. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Are you seeing that? What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, what is the first thing there? Believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. So it's like a reverse order here. He's not saying you have to first see it. You know, in the world, like we say, seeing is believing. In our kingdom, it is the reverse. Believing is seeing. You don't wait until you see it first before you believe. No, you believe first before you see. Praise God. So you must learn to hold on to God's word. As God said something, he said, I can heal the sick. He said, I can speak with new tongues. I believe it. I believe it. And after I believe, I now see it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So number two, embrace the training of the Spirit, the law of faith. Embrace the law of faith. Praise God. Number three, how do you contend for the supernatural? Number three, be conscious of your supernatural heritage. Be conscious of your supernatural heritage. This is so important. Having that consciousness. Always have it at the back of your mind that you are supernatural. And you can walk in the supernatural. Always have it at the back of your mind. If I always have it at the front of your mind, self, speak it to yourself every day. I am supernatural. I walk in the supernatural. As I go out today, I display supernatural results. I manifest the supernatural. I Kapali Yanamai. Glory to God. Look at Luke 10 from verse 17 to 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Look at this. Verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Glory. Oh, I see Satan as lightning fall. Satan is fallen. Satan is defeated, and I trample on him. Verse 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory. Are you seeing that? He's telling you what you can do. He's telling you what he has given unto you. Then I give unto you power. Say, I have power. Kapaliana man delevilia to kapra. I have power. The power of God is at work in me. Kai. Say, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he's telling you what you have. But look at the first word there. What is the first word there? Behold. So you have to see it first. If you cannot see it in terms of revelation, you can't walk in it. There's a confidence you have to have first before you can do it. So you must see it. You must see yourself walking in the supernatural. And then you cannot walk. You cannot then begin to walk in it. Praise God. So behold, have it in your mind at all times. 1 Timothy 4 from verse 14. 1 Timothy 4 from verse 14. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Next verse. It says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear unto all. Are you seeing that? It says, give thyself wholly, wholly, entirely to them. Look, there's an extreme level of consciousness you need to have for you to walk in the supernatural. In fact, you must even be more conscious of the supernatural than you are of just the natural. Have it in your mind that this world that we are seeing is controlled by something, and I have access to that thing. I have access to that place. I am supernatural. I walk in the supernatural. And you must meditate on it consciously every day. I have scripture that I wrote out that I meditate on daily. I speak it to myself every day. Luke 10:19 is one of them. I have power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Act 10:38. How God anointed the Kenekris with the Holy Ghost and with power. I go about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God is with me. Mark 16:20. I went about, the Lord walking with me, confirming my word with signs following. The signs follow me. Signs follow me. Everything God has spoken about my life, I walk in it. You must keep on speaking it to yourself. You must, as it were, program your mind with this reality. Can I give you 1 minute? Just pray in the spirit. Speak those words. Oh, I walk in the supernatural. My life is marked by this saying. It is the finger of God. I display results that defy natural sin. Oh, nothing stops me. Nothing comes in my way. Oh, I am anointed to do good. I am anointed for the miraculous. Oh, and the nations are coming for it. Reboni kapalia de zwate kakali and the leaders. Kilamandesh. He has anointed me with the Holy Ghost and with power. Fadiza badi hadalia suda. Kela badolia nahandesh. So pali gabai. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Number 4, how do I contend for the supernatural? How do I contend for the supernatural? Number 4, exercise the supernatural. Exercise the supernatural. Never miss an opportunity to walk in the supernatural. If you walk in it, you must exercise it. You must exercise it. Never miss an opportunity. When you feel sick, pray for yourself first. Of course, medicine is not bad. Nothing wrong with it. But pray for yourself. Lay hands on yourself and say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Before you now go and look for drugs. If somebody close to you is sick, don't just say, ah, sorry, beleo. Pray for the person. Pray for the person. Don't be afraid to do it. They don't charge money to do it. Even if you pray for the person does not get healed, you didn't charge him money to do it, Shebi. So pray for the person. always have an opportunity. Always look for an opportunity to function in the supernatural. When I go out for evangelism, I will tell myself, when the opportunity presents itself, I function in the supernatural. I give word of knowledge. I give prophecies. If there's somebody sick around me, I pray for the person, and the person will be healed. Always take the opportunity. Look at Mark 16:20. Mark 16:20. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Glory. Are you seeing this? They went. I want you to personalize this verse if you can. When you see they or them, put me, put I. Are you ready? Can you do it? Let's go. And I went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with me and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So tell it to yourself, the Lord is walking with me. So your job is to go and preach everywhere. Your job is to go and declare. Your job is to go and lay hands. And the Lord walking with you will confirm your word with signs. Are you seeing that? And have it at the back of your mind that you have the power to do this. You see, I truly believe that the major reason why people don't walk in the supernatural, apart from them not being taught, is because of fear. There's that feeling. What if it does not work? How will it look like? No, you must cast it out. And this is where prayer helps. Hallelujah. James 4:7. James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Are you seeing this? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We read it already in Ephesians 1 that you have power and authority over the devil and his tricks. The devil is not that powerful. Resist him and he will flee. There are people that try to form like they are strong. You know, there are these dogs that they call, I can't remember what they call them, but all these local dogs. You see them on the road, if you do kai, they will run. That's how the devil is. He makes it look like he's strong and he can do things, but if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Praise God. So learn to resist the devil. Learn to rebuke him. When you see something that you don't want to see, when you see the devil playing tricks around your health, you must learn to pray. Say, I come against the hand of the devil. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And number 5, how do I contend for the supernatural? Increase your spiritual fervency. Increase your spiritual fervency. This is so important. Increase your spiritual fervency. We are going to pray. Because, like I've explained to you, prayer is that tool, that mechanism that God has given you to help stir up the supernatural in you, to help stir up power in you. Look at Matthew 17:21. Matthew 17:21. Spiritual fervency. He said, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Are you seeing that? This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. When he says this kind, that lets you know that there's an intensity you need to have for certain results to happen. So it doesn't mean that you can't do it. Doesn't mean that it is not possible for you. It simply means that there's an intensity you need to build to be able to do that particular thing. And that's what prayer helps you to do. That's what prayer helps you to do. So the background to this was that the disciples were unable to cast out a demonic spirit from a boy. Right? And Jesus told them. Jesus came and cast it out. And they met him after, like, what happened? Why could we not cast that thing out? Let's read it. Go to verse 20. He says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mortar seed, it shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now you may be asking yourself, what then is the relationship between believing, prayer and fasting, right? What is the relationship? How is it possible that when I pray more, I can cast out certain kinds of demonic spirits. Prayer and fasting makes the work of faith more effective in producing results. Prayer and fasting makes the work of faith more effective in producing results. So some of you have faith, but your faith needs to be ignited with fire. You need to stir it up. You need to ignite it. Praise God. You need to ignite it. Look at James chapter 5 from verse 16. James 5:16. Are you there? It says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are you seeing that? Is there any righteous person here? He has told you that the effectual fervent prayer of you avails much. It makes tremendous power. If you have it in Amplified, it helps explain that well. It makes tremendous power available. So there's latent power inside of you. Are you seeing that? The last sentence, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. It is dynamic in its working. I ready to make power available this morning. Oh, stand to your feet. I would like us to pray in the spirit. Supari ambra shete parigo fariana ma. Redebele gedebele tus. Reka pali handa isa. Can you pray in the spirit? Zote katali and the zafelidesh. Rababale gebele tebeletesh. Ronde isoka pa. If you don't walk in the supernatural, if you don't even pray in tongues, in this service, you can begin to pray in tongues. It starts with your desire. Kali santa liza baru anabai. Re teke teke zaka palia sandre shete tete. Re bebeli kabaria sambro kavariantesh. Re te 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 te. Maize kapariam broke the shiga parias. Re te 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 time. Mandon zoko paila. Re te 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 te. Re te 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 kaparia sambro kete kete. Re te 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 te. Mando shiaka pai re te 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 re ka pali hande liva rege de kia pali anamai mando so kapan maiko paria sombra ka pali asande riges re te 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 re te 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 ka pali asambra re te 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 mando ya sombra ka pali asambros rege de ge de ge de ge de re ta ka pali andesh. Oh, I contend for the supernatural and rapper. Esateli mandoli habanus, rico calias, requete capalias.